If you've got your Bible, I want you to go with me straight to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13. We're going to dig into the Word this morning. Repeat after me. I say, the Word of God is alive. It prevails in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it today. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and coming into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples, saying, who do men say me to be the Son of Man? What do people say I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? And I want you to bear in mind that he was asking his own disciples. After he had quizzed them about what people out there are saying, he was even more interested in knowing who the disciples said Jesus is. Do you know that it is very important for you from time to time to interrogate yourself regarding your current view of God? To interrogate your current perspective of Jesus. Because if we are not careful, our perspective will shift with the shifting of seasons. Sometimes we feel good about God and sometimes we don't feel good about him because of what we are going through and the journey that we are on. Therefore, it is important that you and I, we always question ourselves, what's my view of God right now? Amen. So he then said to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Hallelujah. Let's all pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We submit ourselves and we pray that you would speak to us. Let your word get down into our hearts and do an inside job this morning. A job of transformation, Lord. We pray that we don't remain the same after we've heard something today. We pray that this word would work out and bear much fruit, O God, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, according to your will and purpose for each and every one of us. So, Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, I want us to, we are starting unpacking the journey that God has set on us for this year. The journey of becoming kingdom builders. Hallelujah. The journey of becoming kingdom builders. Now, if you are not here last week, we unveiled our theme for 2026. And that theme is kingdom builders. Where God is calling us to become builders. To become people that build things that will outlive us. Hallelujah. I want you to know that your calling is massive. Your calling is not to build things that will get washed away when storms come. Your calling is to build things that remain. Structures that endure. Hallelujah. You are called to build children that will stand the test of time. God has called you as a mother, as a father, to build young people and children that will go beyond where you are today. Glory be to God. We must believe that God has called us to something bigger than ourselves. That's the story of a kingdom builder. Now, unless you understand what you are asked to do, you might not put your heart to it. How many of us at work, you receive an instruction from your superiors and you don't really understand what they expect from you? And because you don't know what they expect from you, you don't walk with confidence. You don't get to do that which has been asked of you with confidence because you are not sure about what is expected of you. Hallelujah. Therefore, it is important for us to come to a place of saying, what is this issue that we are talking about? When we are talking about kingdom, what are we talking about? When we are talking about building, what are we talking about? Now, there are three things that we need to realize as we go on this journey. We need to know what are we building. Because we can be about ourselves, about our own kingdoms. There's nothing wrong with that. I want you to understand God wants you to build things for yourself. God wants you to build things for yourself. When King Solomon set out to build the house of God, the Bible says God then enabled him to build his own palace, which took 13 years to build. So when you embark on building something for the kingdom, never think that it is taking away from you. But as you build things of God, he will build you up. Glory be to God. So what are we building? Number two, why are we even doing this? Why bother? That's the question we must ask ourselves this morning, seated in this place. Why should we even bother about building? I want you to know that the question why is very important. As long as the why is not big enough, you will not lay down your life for it. The why has to be big enough for you to say, whatever it costs, I will do it. For mothers, you'll understand the why is so big that you are prepared to sacrifice everything for your child. Fathers, you know the why is so big that you are prepared to do everything possible to ensure that there's a roof over the heads for your children and your family. The why has to be so big that the price doesn't matter. Does somebody hear me this morning? The why of what we're doing must be big enough that it doesn't matter what the price. And the third question we need to understand is, how do we build? How do we go about this process of building? So this morning I'm going to start putting bricks in place and measuring lines in place for us to go together on this journey. Now, we're going to embark on a series, and this series is titled Building for Eternal Impact. We are building for eternal impact. That is why I say to you, you have a major calling. The Lord has called you to build things that endure. And we're going to be building for eternity. For eternity, whereby things remain. Building for eternity impact. How do we do that? Because eternity is not as long as we don't know how eternity is long. But we know eternity is eternity. So we must build for things that have eternal impact. Now, there are many things we do that have minimal or no impact on eternity. But I'm of the view that anything you do must have a perspective of eternity. Because if you don't have a perspective of eternity, you will give up after 6 months. You'll give up after 3 years. You'll give up. But when you know what I'm doing here has an implication on eternity, you're not going to easily give up. Now, when you take a long-term view on matters, you are more likely to make wise decisions than when you make short-term based decisions. You know, we talk about quick gains. We talk about pleasures for now. But when you have a long-term view to life, there are things that you cannot say yes to. Because you know the implication is major in 6 years' time. I wish our young people would understand the impact of what they do now when it comes to marriage in one day, in 10 years' time. Sometimes we want to fix marriages when they were already broken when you were 16. The stuff that you did at the age of 16 broke something inside of you which you need God to come and fix. Therefore, if you have a long-term view to life, you will not be swayed to go with the now. You will say, I would rather wait. I would rather wait. Now, it goes without saying that when it comes to having a perspective of eternity on your life, it will change the way you look at pain. It will change the way you look at rejection. It will change the way you look at success. Because if your success does not help you to make it to heaven, you have a problem. If my success is taking me far away from the chances of making it into heaven, there is a problem with that success. I want my success to enable me that when I cross that line one day, the Lord would say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the key issue. How do we ensure that our actions today enable us to cross the line as faithful servants? Because many times we can do things now that are eroding that opportunity of being a faithful servant. Now, so when we talk about kingdom building, we are talking about getting involved in something that has eternal implications. When one talks about something with internal implications, there's nothing that can get close to this institution called church. You know, nothing gets close to the church when it comes to impacting eternity. The church is the only organization that has an impact on your eternity. So let's talk about how to rediscover the church. I want us to look at how do we rediscover the church this morning. Because as long as we have a wrong view of church, we are starting on the wrong footing. We need to have the right view of church. Just like I say to you, do you have the right perspective of God, regardless of your circumstances? And I want to ask the same question, do you have the correct perspective of church, regardless of your circumstances? I want you to understand that we need to have a renewed view of church. One day I was having lunch with guys at work, and one of the ladies around the table said, you know what, church, I can't do church. I cannot do church because church is all about money. Church is all about me, 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 me. Church is all about how well you're doing in life. Church does not care about you. I'm listening to this, and this lady knows I'm a pastor. And I say to her, what happened? You have to start there. You can't start by judging somebody. What happened? And she said to me, I went to church one day, and she told the story. And I say to her, I fully get you. I'm sorry about what happened when you went to church. But I want you to know that church was never idea, it was God's idea. The fact that you went to a broken church, it doesn't mean that church is not needed. It doesn't mean that church has lost its value in society. And this morning we need to have a renewed view of church. As I was preparing, I just felt the Lord saying, there are many people who are carrying church hurt. There are many people who are wounded because they went to church and church broke them. Now, one day the Lord was talking to his disciples in an intimate conversation, and he revealed to them his heart about church. He revealed to his disciples his heart about church, and it was a major revelation. So in verse 18, he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This was after Peter had made a great confession, the greatest confession ever, by the help of the Holy Spirit, where he basically declared the lordship and the deity of Christ, that Jesus pronounced his heart about the church. And this morning, I want you to understand that the church must be of eternal value, that it had to take the Creator himself to come down and set up shop on earth. Come on now, I need you to understand something about church today. Because if we don't get it right, we will not run this race with endurance. If we don't believe in church, people of God, we will not run with endurance. And this morning, we need our minds to be renewed regarding what this thing called church. It took Jesus himself to come down to establish the church. He could have sent thousands of angels to establish a mega church on earth. But he said, there is no one who is able to do what I'm about to create on earth. It takes me. Put this down. No one has authority to build the church other than Christ himself. So as we are running with this vision of kingdom builders, I want you to understand it cannot be done outside of delegated authority from the master builder himself, who is Christ Jesus. We cannot work in the house of God without partnering and understanding the heart of Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who came and said, I will build my church. Glory be to God. Let me remind you, and I want to remind myself, that the church belongs to Jesus. The church does not belong to a pastor. The church does not belong to us. The church belongs to Jesus. In fact, he calls her his bride. He says, I'm engaged, and there's courtship going on between Jesus and the church. And that's how close the relationship is between Jesus and the church. And I want you to realize that the moment you start dealing with somebody else's bride and somebody else's wife, you've got to be careful what you say, where you put your hands, what you do, because you will be made to account. The way I treat the bride, one day the bridegroom will ask me, how dare you touch my bride in that way? Come on now. I want you to understand that the value of the church in the eyes of Jesus. The church is so valuable. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that he laid down his life for her. Jesus died for this work called church. So Jesus looks at Peter and he said to him, Peter, he calls out his name as if to remind him that, listen, what I'm about to tell you, I want you to remember that this work belongs to me. I want you to remember that the church belongs to me. He says, I will build my church. And the church is composed of people called out to relate with God through Jesus Christ, their mediator, the one who shed his only blood so that they can become part of the work. So, I want you to realize this morning that when we talk about the church, we are talking about something that is very close to Jesus. And I want you to get into your heart this morning and answer the question, how have you treated the church of Jesus Christ? How have I treated the church of Jesus Christ? You know, as I was talking to these guys on the table on that fateful afternoon where people are hurt about church, I say to them, let me tell you something about church. It's like going to your best friend, a guy, and you say to him, listen, man, Peter, I really love you. I like you, but I can't stand your wife. Yeah. Mike, I love you to bits. I mean, I really, really love you. You're best thing after sliced bread. But your wife, never. I cannot talk to your wife. Your wife is like this, like this, like this, like this. I can tell you, if you say that to me, that's the day that our relationship ends. That's the day I delete your name from my phone. That's the day I unfriend you from Instagram. That's the day I take you out of Facebook. That's the day that I ensure that when you try to call, you are blocked. Why? You can't separate me from my wife. So it is a travesty of theology to say, I love God with all my heart, but I hate church. I don't like church. I can't do church, but I can do God. It's a travesty of theology. It's a contradiction, if I can say that. And so I want to just lean into your heart this morning. And I pray that the Lord heals you. That you come back to our right senses regarding church. Well, I'm not talking about church coming up to the upper room on Woodhill Park Shopping Center. I'm talking about the person sitting right next to you. That is church. Church is not the four walls of this building. Church is not the lights. We can love and hug the speakers, but if you can't hug me, you're not doing church. Come on now. Let me give you a scripture to show you this. So the Apostle Peter uses the metaphor of God's building in reference to God's people. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. He says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. You yourselves, each one of you, are being built up into a spiritual house. To what? To become a holy priesthood. In other words, we are being fashioned to become people that minister unto the Lord. That's what church is. Church is the person sitting right next to you who doesn't look like you. Who might not think like you. Who might not have gone to the same school as you. That is church. And the Apostle Peter is telling us, you are being built up together so that you can minister unto the Lord and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That is church, people of God. If you only love to come to the upper room and you don't love the person next to you, you are doing a disservice to the bridegroom. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Now, he says, you're being built up together. And I want you to know, those of you who've been involved in building projects, it takes a long time to build something of value. I alluded to Solomon earlier on. He took 13 years to build his palace. Today, in our industry, we build monumental things. It takes years and years and years. Now, this morning, I want you to know that you, being the building of Jesus Christ, you are work at progress. You are work on progress. The Lord is working on you. It takes time. Therefore, in church, we mustn't look for perfection. We must look for desire. I mustn't look for perfection in you. I must look at, is there a desire to seek God? That is what the Lord refers to as perfection. A desire to become more and more and more like Christ. That is why the Bible says, be thou perfect as the Lord is perfect. Is he looking for flawlessness? No, he's not looking for flawlessness. He is looking for somebody who has a demeanor that says, I want to know him more and more and more. Regardless of where I am right now, I messed up yesterday, but I'm coming back. That's perfection in the eyes of God. That is perfection, people of God. And I want you to understand that as Christ builds you, he doesn't build you in isolation. He builds you in community. He builds you in communion. You cannot do this by yourself. It's called church. So, he says, I will build my church. I will establish my church. Who of us here are being built by Christ? How many of us are being formed by Christ? And sometimes when he is forming us, he throws us into water. He throws us into the furnace. He allows us to be chased by lions. And David says, it's okay, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He is building me up. Glory be to God. He is about building his people. He says, I will build my church. The church is so important. Put this down. The church that Jesus is building has eternal implications. The church that Jesus is building has eternal implications. The world can offer you a lot of things. The world can offer you a lot of pleasure, a lot of comfort. But the world can never give you what the church gives. And you must aspire to engage yourself in something that lasts forever. And the church can do that. The church can do that. That is why I normally challenge people. It's okay, you can give to all sorts of organizations. You can give to SPCA where dogs are looked after. You can give to people who look after animals at Kruger National Park. That's okay, but I want you to know, there is no organization that when you give to, it will impact eternity like the church. I want to challenge everybody to have a perspective change. There's nothing wrong with helping orphanages down the road, but if your giving in that orphanage does not allow those young people to see eternity, we are wasting our resources. I'm sorry to say, but that is the truth. So there are many things that the world can offer us, but there's only one thing that the world cannot, and that's called eternal life. So we commit ourselves to many things on this world, and I'm trying to draw parallels between our institutions that are great, that are awesome, UN, WHO, and all of these, you know, the board of peace that has just come up. Praise God. We don't know how it will work, but what I'm saying to you, there's only one place where eternal life can be acquired, and it is church. So listen, church is not perfect. But one thing you need to know, you need church. Amen. We need church. Amen. It is through the church that God expresses his love to humanity. The love of God was made so plain on that fateful afternoon when Jesus was hanging between heaven and earth. Why did Jesus have to be martyred? Why did Jesus have to suffer such a gruesome death? It was for him to be able to say, it is finished. The job is done. The church has been set in place. Put this down. The church is the only institution with delegated authority to present the good news of salvation. If we can get that in our brains, it will change how we are vested in this institution called church. With its wrinkles, with its imperfections, it is the only institution that God can trust. The Lord does not trust ANC. The Lord does not trust DA. Neither does he trust EFF or MK party. None of those institutions have been delegated authority. We have been delegated with the authority to preach the good news of salvation. None of them. It doesn't matter how close you are to them, they fall short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. For the Bible says, for all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When I'm outside of the church, I lose the ability to do that. When I'm not born again, I lose the ability to represent Jesus on earth. Hallelujah. For all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he believed in the church so much that he said, Father, give me a body. I'm going. That's the church, people of God. The church is the mouthpiece of God. When the church is quiet, God does not speak. Yes. He said, who shall go for us? When you go to Isaiah chapter 6, when the Lord was speaking to the Lord, and Isaiah overheard God speaking, saying, who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Matthew 28, verse 19, let's read scriptures so that we anchor these. We know these, but let's be reminded. The Lord Jesus, just before he was taken up to heaven, he made a proclamation to the 500 who were before him. And he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Let's be reminded of the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This was not given to the emperor. This instruction was not given to Herod or to Pilate. It was given to the church. It was given to the disciples who were in the hearing on that mountain. And it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This commission was not for any other institution. It was for the church to do. So when the church is not able to do it, heaven is hamstrung. I'm sorry to say, that is how important church is. Heaven is hamstrung. Teaching them to obey all the commandments. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So let me say this to you. When the church is well-resourced, when the church is strong, more people can come to know the Lord. When the church actively partners with Christ, the master builder, communities will get to know peace and joy. So I want you to know that God intends to use the church to bring many back to glory. God intends to use the church to display his splendor and glory both to the physical and the spiritual world. When God wants to show forth his glory and his power, he doesn't do it through a soccer team. He doesn't do it through a rugby team or a cricket team. He does it through you. He does it through the church. So the church is supposed to be the closest thing to heaven. If the world is to see heaven, they must walk through this door and get in touch with us. But is that the case? But that's what God wants to do through us. Let me show you a scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. I'm talking about the value of church, and we need to rediscover church. His purpose was that now, through the church, I want you to just get that in your heart. God trusts the church. He believes in the church. That this is the best I can do to show forth my glory. So he says here, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to the eternal purpose that is accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Through the church, God is saying, I want to brag about who I am to principalities and powers, demonic forces, kings and rulers. I want to brag about who I am, and I can only do it through the church. He wants to display his manifold wisdom in its various forms through the church. Not through University of Pretoria. Tax. Not through TUT. But he's saying, I'm gonna deposit heavenly wisdom in the church so that when the church manifests my wisdom, the principalities can shy away and say, this is God. Amen. Does somebody hear me this morning? Amen. There are things that God can only pour out into the church. And he will not pour out anywhere else. Because he said, in this season, he has made a decision that through this church, I will show forth my manifold wisdom. Amen. So put this down. God uses the church to showcase his glory and wisdom in its various forms. The most intelligent of people are in church, or should be found in church, because we have access to heavenly wisdom. We have access to spiritual wisdom. And if you look, the church has been used by God to establish science, education, to influence political directions. That is what God does through his church. When the church understands its mandate, I want you to know that the world cannot help it but say, wow. One day when you go to heaven, you speak to Isaac Newton. He will tell you of the glory of God that he experienced in the lab. I'm talking about the manifold wisdom of God. When the people of God, when people out in the world are looking for working marriages, they must come to the church and they say, tell us, how do you do it? God uses the church. So to build the kingdom of God, believers must have a renewed mind regarding the church. We are not just a small people upstairs, a small people just trying to find our identity. No, we know who we are. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. We are a people called out into his marvelous light. That's who we are. Amen. We are busy asking for permission on tables. It's because we don't know who we are. We are the church. So listen, when the church works, a nation will work. When the church works, families will work. When the church works, communities are healed and restored. That is why when we see wars in our communities, we must ask ourselves, where is the church? Those of you who know history, you will know that apartheid, at the center of it, there was church that malfunctioned, that supported demonic ideas. And we must call them as they are. Apartheid was demonic in its nature. Where was the church? The church was there, but was misplaced in terms of its view of God. Because God never said, this person is better than that. The Bible says, for we are one before God. There's neither Jew, there's neither Greek, neither male, neither female, neither free, neither prison. For we are all one. So when somebody comes and teach you the gospel that says, God says, you were created to serve me, that's not God. Where was the church? Let's go up north to Rwanda. The genocide of 1993, it happened between the Tutsis and the Hutus. And it was all happening in the face of an environment where Roman Catholic Church was the strongest in there. Where was church? When church is done right, the communities know peace. When church is done wrong, communities are in pain. There is war. We don't understand what is happening. Millions of people were butchered in a very short space of time in front of the church. When church does not function, let's not blame ANC why there's so much crime. Let's not blame DA why there's so many problems in our Tswane region. It is because the church has lost its place and its voice in our communities. Does somebody hear me this morning? He says, through the church, his manifold wisdom will be seen. Why are our public schools become a cesspool of drugs, sexual abuse? Where is the church? The church is closed in the four walls of its awesome buildings. But the Lord says, I will build my church. Did he come to build a weak church? No, the Bible says he's coming back for a victorious bride without wrinkles, because he washes the bride with his word so that he can present himself with a clean and wrinkless bride. That's the church. And that is you. When I remain silent in my workplace, I am disadvantaging what God wants to do. When I don't speak out, when there's injustices, God is saying, where is justice among you? He says, I hate injustice. And he has called the church to be the mouthpiece of heaven. So when church works, everything works. And that is what God is calling us to build, people of God. That is what God is calling us to invest our money, our time, our homes, everything. That's the church. He says, I will build my church. Another issue that you need to understand about the church is God uses the church to edify and to build up his people. When you say, I love God and I hate church, you're saying, God, I don't need your help. Because whether we admit it or not, we are what we are because of church. Again. We are who we are because of kirk. Because of church, isn't it? The church is present when you are born. It's supposed to be present. We're supposed to come when somebody is born in your home. The church is present when you are sick. The church is supposed to be there when you are not well. That's how God designed church to be. The church is present when you get married. I can tell you many people, non-believers, call us like, can you marry us? You want me to marry you? Where is your pastor? Where is your church? The church is present when you get married. Even non-believers, they know that for me to do this thing right, I need church. Pastor, can you please give me marriage counseling? Where do you fellowship? Me? Church? I don't do church. I do God. But when you need marriage counseling, say, Pastor, please come and help me. We are deceived. Somebody's like, what's going on here? So, church is present when you die. I don't know how many calls I get, people asking to use our venue for funerals. How many times people say, can you do a funeral service for me? I say, where is your pastor? Where is your church? People of God, we ignore church to our own peril. Church is so important. Yes, she might not be perfect, but no one can say, I've never seen church in my life. All of you here, you saw church at some point in your life. If you haven't seen it, you will see it. You will see church in your life one day. In fact, one of the ladies who was not happy with church said, when my mom died, the church refused to bury my mom. I'm like, why? Well, they said you are not in the books. We can't find you. Angubani, I can't see you. You don't pay tithe. You don't visit. You don't do anything. Therefore, we can't bury you. I don't know. But church is there when you die. Hallelujah. I want you to know that church trains you for life. Many of the things that you guys know were taught in church. Not by your parents. Church reparents many people. That's why we're saying here the church is used by God to edify you. When you have been edified by church somewhere, will you be available for God to use you to edify somebody else? The Bible says when you meet together, one has a word of knowledge, one has an interpretation of prophecy, another one has got a hymn, and all of this is done for the edification of everybody. That's why we do church. That's why we do church. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Let's try and wrap this up. Ephesians 4 11. So Christ himself, listen, Christ is serious about church, guys. Christ means business about church. He said, I'm no longer going to be here, but you know what? I'm going to create governance. I'm going to put in place governing gifts that will represent me until I come back for my church. Pastors, they are representing Christ. So Christ himself gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Christ himself gave you governmental gifts called pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets, teachers. The way you treat these governmental authorities determines how you treat Christ. You know, you don't treat prophets as trash and you say, I treat Jesus well. So God is busy building us. When we come to church, we are strengthened. When I come to church, I don't know, guys, there's something about gathering with believers that just stirs up your faith. When you come to church, you might be discouraged. But after a moment of celebrating the Lord together, you find courage and strength. It's because it's called church. There's something about church that you cannot deny. That is why the psalmist has a lot to say about church. He says, I was glad when they say to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Are you glad? When Saturday night comes, like, I can't wait to be in the house of the Lord. If you are not glad, let's try and fix it. What do we need to do? To ensure that you, when you come to the house of the Lord, you're excited about being in the house of the Lord. The psalmist says, for better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be an usher. I'd rather do menial housework in the house of God than serving kings. For better is one day in your courts. These things come to mind as I pour out my soul, how I walked with the multitude leading the festive procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and praise. These are Psalms. One thing I have asked of the Lord, hallelujah, this is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. One thing will I ask of the Lord, one thing will I ask of the Lord. What will you ask of the Lord? Come, let's stand on our feet. Come on now, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Come on now, let's clap our hands to Jesus. This is church. This is church. This is church. You are saying, one thing will I ask of the Lord, that will I desire. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I would rather be a doorkeeper. I would rather sweep the house of the Lord. That is church. May the Lord heal you. If you've been hurt by church, may the Lord restore you this morning in the name of Jesus.